Shop the Sherwin-Williams Spring Sale and get 35% off paints and stains March 13th through the 23rd. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G.
Yo, and George.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah. On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Shoot myself in the foot. Take a plays. I missed a couple of reads on my throws. Had the turnover, the two turnovers. So, when you play like that, you give them an opportunity to come back. And they made some adjustments, started taking away a lot of our passing. But at the same time, they want to take away everything. I got to be better and just get through my progressions. But all in all, you learn with a dub, and that's the most important thing about it.
That's Texas quarterback C.J. Stroud talking about yesterday's 23-20 walk-off win thanks to a 59-yard Kaimi Fairbairn field goal. Certainly lots of things to clean up, but they're 4-1. Enjoy this. Beating the Jaguars on a walk-off field goal? Nah. Beating the Bills on a walk-off field goal? Hell yeah.
I couldn't even tell you the last time the Texans started a season 4-1.
It's been a while.
I mean, I would even know.
Well, it's their second best start over five games of franchise history. They had a 5-0 start once.
Oh, okay. So.
Hell yeah.
I mean.
That's the Matt Schaub era. It's going away.
2012.
Yeah, 2012. Yeah.
Yes, 2012.
And they started 11-1 and, Letterman jackets.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Just no Letterman jackets this year and you'll be fine. But yeah, they should. Texans fans are. I'm trying to. What do you think they're the most unsatisfied with in this game? Just because there's. Is it the second half struggles that are – because I think, that was one of the first texts we read in the show or comments. That's the one that does stand out to me of the biggest flaw with this game that – or biggest red flag in this game is they still just can't figure out whatever's going wrong in the second half. But this is a great win. You overcame a lot of mistakes in this game.
I won't say great, but it is a win that you should be very happy about.
Yeah.
It is.
I think they just want a dominant win. I think that's what it is. I mean, they've got four wins, but what win has felt dominant from start to finish?
None.
I mean, the Colts, they beat by two. The Bears, they only scored, 3 points in the second half?
Right.
That came down to a one-score game. Obviously, the last two games came down to a field goal. I think the expectation for this team was to have a few dominant wins along the way, and they don't have one yet.
Negative 12-point differential with a 4-1 record, for sure. That looks weird. It doesn't make you feel confident, but... who in the AFC is better than them? And I ask that question because the Chiefs look very beatable right now. You just beat the Buffalo Bills, who have looked very ugly the last 2 weeks. The Ravens needed all the help that they could get yesterday against the Cincinnati Bengals to pull off a win. Looked like the Bengals had that one a couple of times. They have 2 10-point leads in that one?
Mm-hmm.
Oof.
Kansas City, just because it's by default, even with all the injuries, they're the best team in the NFL.
They have the best defense in the AFC, I think, but let's see what happens tonight against Derek Carr and his Saints offense that's been really good. So I just feel like there's a lot of people that are acting a little bit too good for the win. I'm glad some of our usual Twitch suspects are here. I can't wait for one of them to try to tell me that they understand what a good quarterback looks like, because they don't. I don't think they have eyeballs. But I look at this game that they just won. And while I think there's a lot that could be cleaned up, and I am annoyed that it got so tight at the very end, at the same time, they beat a Buffalo team, quarterbacked by Josh Allen, and after they beat the Jaguars on Monday Night Football 46-10, we thought they were effed for this game.
Yeah, because we were looking, that was right after the Minnesota, those were the worst two results that could happen at the same time.
Yeah.
You lose 34-7, they win 41-10, and then next week you play Jacksonville, you squeak by in that one. And also, I really hope this is not the case, Paul, but this might just be who they are. I mean, this is who they were last year.
They were last year, yeah.
I mean, how often last year? You have two games. You have the Pittsburgh game early in the season. You have the obviously the playoff game where you had two pick sixes. But most of your games last year are a 7-point win over New Orleans, a 2-point win over Tampa, a 3-point win over Cincinnati, a 5-point win over Arizona. You're kind of just doing the same thing this year.
Yep.
It might just be who you are, that the heart attack Texans are just the heart attack Texans, and for whatever reason, they can't put people away, but they win games.
I feel like they can improve. I think we all should feel like they can improve. And I feel like everybody turning their nose up at this win, I feel like you haven't been paying attention to this year in the NFL. 713-780-3776 is how you call. It's how you text. We've got Lamont calling in about the Texans. Lamont, what's up, dude?
What's the deal, man? I was calling about something else, but I heard y'all conversation about the one score wins because I've been on that. But a friend of mine, he was like, go back and look at the Kansas City Chiefs and tell me when the last time they blew out someone. And I couldn't really even I can't even really think of a time. I mean, outside of the playoffs or anything like that, but it seems like the Kansas City Chiefs are in that same realm. And I'm not stupid. I'm not trying to compare the Texans to the Kansas City Chiefs by no means. But they are in that same boat. But what I was really calling about that's going up under the radar, man, is that with all of these injuries that the Texans have right now, and the Texans do have a lot of injuries. I'm thinking this late bye game, bye week for us, our bye week is like week 12 or week 11?
It's week 14, I think.
That's like one of the latest that we ever had?
Yeah, it's insane.
Do you guys think that would play any part in this season at all? It's on time asking.
Interesting nice question, day, Lamont. I mean, I hate that it's that late. I think it's BS.
I hate it and I kind of love it.
You hate it and you kind of love it.
What I love about it is that because the NFL then gave you three football games in 11 days, that at least you're coming off a bye week.
They effed you. They hosed you. They hosed you with the three games in, 13 days? And they hosed you with the late bye week. It could help at the very end, for sure. It could help them feel refreshed. I want to say, I think this is going back to the 2001 season. I think the New England Patriots were originally scheduled to have a bye week during the 9/11 year in week 2, and I think they ended up having it in week 17 or something like that.
Oh, that's I remember that.
So there have been bye weeks that have been super late like that before too, and that one was because of, the national tragedy. It could help for sure. I don't know how much of an impact it'll have. That's just a brutal 3-week stretch that you're going up against. I would assume the Dolphins will have Tua Tagovailoa back under center for that 3-game stretch where they play the Dolphins, then the Chiefs, and then the Ravens at the end of the year. But to what Lamont was saying earlier about how the Chiefs, and they have been playing with their food of late, this year, every single game has been close. And last year, there were only a couple of multi-score victories for them. They beat the Bears on the 24th of September, 41-10. They beat the Broncos 19-8. They beat the Chargers 31-17. They beat the Raiders 31-17. Everything else was 10 points or less.
Yeah, they seem to they'll have Patrick Mahomes, and you have a great defense.
This is their defense. They are playing in a style that, even though we all think of the Chiefs as this high-flying offense that runs up the score on everybody, they have been playing a lot closer to those New England Patriots teams of the early 2000s, and which is why they're in the same situation that early 2000s New England Patriots team was, where they actually have a chance to do the three-peat thing. It isn't about how you win in the NFL. It isn't. And to what D'Amico Ryans is saying, he deserves some credit there. But it does feel like in this city in particular, there seems to be a need for this specific football team to win by a ton of points. And if that doesn't happen, you guys are going to be like Shania Twain. That don't impress on me much. So yeah. Only won against the Buffalo Bills, won a game where Josh Allen was 9-for-30, and you don't seem to have the touch, you know?
Is it?
Don't impress me much.
What's up, babe? I'm single. I'm still single.
How old is Shania Twain?
Ageless.
Who cares, Joe?
I'm just curious.
Yeah, you sound like a Texans fan right now. How old is Shania?
No, I'm just saying.
Not good enough for me.
She's 59. That's not out of your age range?
No.
Okay.
No.
I'm just curious.
No, it's Shania Twain.
Yeah. Is she single?
Kate Beckinsale single, I think.
Let's get in these DMs, Paul.
Paul said he can make her singles. Come on, Paul.
I'm not saying anything.
Let's send a DM, see if we can get a response.
I'm just taking things a day at a time, okay? I don't have Stephon Diggs Riz. I don't know if I'm going to be able to pull that off, but...
Maybe that's what we should ask Stephon Diggs. Because maybe we'll actually meet with the media this week. And, you know, you go, hey Stephon, can you teach some of this Riz?
Hey, I'm emotional, babe. Hey, I have a cat. What's up?
Does Stephon Diggs have a cat?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
I don't think he's a cat guy.
Probably not. I don't know if I want my star wide receivers being cat guys.
Why? Though,
and we're all cat dads. I don't know.
I think we should take offense to that, Joe.
I'm offending myself. I'm aware.
So. Yeah, but you're later to the party than Paul and I.
That's true.
Why you?
I don't know.
This is just Bears fan mentality. What? It's like just translates to
self-hatred and just posting it on other people.
Exactly. Just translate into every single aspect of life.
Look, the Texans fans are just as bad as I am. I get accused a lot of things about Bears fan syndrome. All we've talked about is Texans fan syndrome. This is all about the past. This is all about the Matt Schaub and the Kansas City game when you have the lead with Deshaun Watson. That's why they're not excited. Because they don't want to believe. They don't want to get their heart broken again.
I guess. It's weird. I truly don't get it. The Astros are done. We're not going to talk or watch any baseball. I was listening to one of the other stations on the way in. They're talking about other baseball series, and I thought to myself, are you serious? No one wants to think a lick about baseball now that the Astros are gone.
Yeah, the only thing about the baseball series that I would talk about is the Dodgers fans being scumbags.
Yeah.
Fighting each other.
Yeah, throwing baseballs at jerks in Pro Far.
But that's not even news. Doesn't that happen every day?
Yeah, Dodgers fans.
The Dodgers game.
A Dodgers stadium parking lot without at least two deaths is considered a boring affair.
Mm. Good reference.
He's Joe and Paul. BMAC behind the glass. And for Sean, it's Gallant and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We will talk in this hour about some quarterback issues across the league, specifically one guy who walked off the field earlier than you would have liked if you were his head coach. But we are also talking about the Texans and their win over the Buffalo Bills yesterday, 23-20. I think you should be happy about it. Don't turn your nose up at that. Stay put.
That's a big win. That's a playoff-type game, playoff-type atmosphere. That's a really good team that's deep in the playoffs every year, man. And for us to go out there and execute and win that game, that was really huge for us.
You're listening to Gallant and George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
That win should impress you. Maybe not much. Because it wasn't special.
But it was good.
Okay.
So you beat the Bills. That don't impress me much. I'm a 59-year-old cougar, and Paul wants to touch, but I won't let him because he's a broke boy. He looks like he drinks soy. Damn, I'm so good. That don't impress me much. It's a great song.
You think you look like you drink soy?
No.
Is that something that you get told?
What does that even mean? Means of a beta lip tuck. Don't you know? When you get canceled on Tucker Carlson's TV show, if you guys are ever lucky enough to have that happen.
Hard pass.
If you're ever lucky enough, you will be called a beta soy boy lip cuck. Generally. Lip tar.
That sounds very specific.
Yeah. The song rules. And I'm surprised that so many Texans fans are Shania Twain walking through the desert acting like a win over the Bills, the equivalent of Brad Pitt. Is it enough?
So in this scenario, is CJ Stroud the rocket scientist?
I don't know. But I felt pretty warm in the middle of last night. Too warm, in fact. I had to wake up.
It was because you had wine spilled down your back.
That's true. Down my shirt. For those who don't know, I hung out with some of these freaks, these barbarians from Rochester and Buffalo
north
after
of the wall.
Game. Yeah, they... Clearly their first time drinking wine, and someone spilled the wine all over my fancy shirt. Fred B. H32 says, this is why no one likes you, Paul. No wonder Vanessa left radio.
Why? What did Paul do to...
Vanessa and I hung out on Friday. That was a fun time.
After
Syracuse won against UNLV, I had my Syracuse basketball jersey on, and I was the talk of the town.
Yeah, that was a good win for your boys.
The first time anyone understood where Syracuse University was.
Because it was on television?
Yeah, they're like, oh, you're a school, huh?
Yeah.
But also, it was a lot of people that were from Buffalo and Rochester.
Honestly, gotcha. I could not tell you where it is. Other than it's in, what, Upper New York?
Syracuse?
Yeah.
It's in Central New York, actually.
Oh, see. I would have failed that question.
Yeah.
I thought it was close to Canada, like Buffalo.
It's close-ish.
Okay.
But not that close.
Gotcha.
But I'm just surprised. There's so many people that seem to believe the Texans should have won this by more. And they certainly had opportunities to. They were up 20-3 in this game. But as you heard from Will Anderson coming in, that is a win over a marquee team in the AFC. This has been one of the most consistent teams year by year, if not week by week, in the league the last few years. Only the Chiefs can say they're better, definitively. The Ravens could make that argument, too, though they've had their own playoff disappointments. The Bengals have been hanging around, too. They did make it to a Super Bowl. But in a post-Patriots world, these are the teams that you have to beat for us to give a bleep about you. And I feel like I've seen this so many times before. 2019, when the Texans beat the Chiefs, about 5 years ago, and then the Patriots, I don't think that got people really back in the way that it should have either.
I'm not really sure what, if people aren't all the way back in at this point, I'm not really sure what it takes, to be honest. I mean, they won a playoff game last year. They lost to Baltimore in the second round, and it was not a pretty game. But I think that was to be expected. Most people didn't think that to be that much different. And you're 4-1 to start the season, and you've beaten the Buffalo Bills. You won a divisional game. You've won two divisional games. So you're going to get the, you know, AFC South champs, Brian, is going to be back.
The division is practically won.
Doesn't matter, Brian. AFC South champions 2 years in a row, Brian.
Yep.
I would feel better if Anthony Richardson was the starting quarterback the rest of the year for the Colts. I mean, Joe Flacco might actually make a run at it.
Yeah, but they still lost.
They still lost. I know
they
lost.
I know they still lost. But
I mean, Trevor Lawrence looking actually good for the first time in a game where he threw his tablet and Gabe Davis apparently was mad at him. Good for Trevor Lawrence.
That's who Josh Allen was talking about.
It might have been.
It was Gabe Davis.
We did talk about that on Friday. Maybe it was Gabe Davis.
It was Gabe Davis who was throwing tantrums, not getting the ball.
I got the sense, though, after hearing Josh Allen's comments after the game talking about Stephon Diggs, I did get the sense that this is also about Diggs to a degree. And it's nice to have guys that don't care about stats, but what happens when your receivers as a whole have 4 catches for 76 yards, which is less than what Stephon Diggs had by himself?
Don't impress me much.
I love that song.
I can tell. Is that what you listen to at the gym?
No, I didn't.
You're just looking in the mirror.
Oh, at D1?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You're still feeling today, huh? A little bit.
I am feeling it a little bit in the legs. For those who don't know, I was really excited because I was at a gym and I was up in the Woodlands. And I was going to go potentially hang out with Woodlands girl after the show, but
I didn't want to ask.
Woodlands girl had to cancel again.
Okay, I saw on Instagram that night, because you said you had a date, and I saw on Instagram that night, I saw a story of you and your at home.
Yeah, made myself a mistake.
So you don't impress her much.
Damn, B-Max. Damn, dude.
Don't impress me much.
Funny. That hurt. No,
yeah, I thought, you know, I thought maybe
I mean, you
canceled.
Could, you guys could tell, like, but I wear my mood on my sleeve. You guys could tell when I came in. Like, I'm kind of, I don't know how to feel about this one. Because I actually really, I was very excited. We had a great first date. You ever have a great first date? Mm-hmm. And you're thinking to yourself, oh, yeah. And now I'm overthinking it because the last two have been canceled. So now this is like all I'm thinking about because I'm a crazy person.
Gotcha. So you're worried that there's more to the cancellation than just the cancellation.
The first one, I was cool with it.
Okay.
Second one, I don't know now. I don't know.
Well, let's go with the baseball rule here.
I suppose we'll see.
3 strikes and you're out. For your own mental health here, you know, if there's a third cancellation, she's out.
Okay.
We're team Paul here.
Okay.
He might not be. BMAC might not be. I don't know.
I don't know.
I'm going to have to know more about the Woodlands girl before I decide whose team I'm on.
I see, this is my thing. I go back. After a while, if I have a long dry spell, I'll go back to people that have hurt your boy.
Mm.
An addict. A glutton for punishment. Like Josh Allen. Ayo.
I'm with you. I don't get why Texans fans aren't all in after this game. I guess because it's just not sexy.
Or just more excited about it.
Yeah.
I mean, hell, show up to the effing game on time.
Yeah, I did see a couple tweets, though, from...
I get that they're fashionably late, but the traffic getting into the stadium, I got there... I got there at 11:30. It was easy to get in.
It was cakewalk.
The traffic has been significantly worse outside of NRG Stadium before. It was as easy as it's ever been for me to get to the stadium. I got there in 15 minutes. Usually takes me 25. Got there in 15 minutes. No one was there.
Yeah, it was.
It was empty at the beginning of the game. You're playing one of the top teams in the AFC. I don't know if it's just because this city just is never fully bought into the Texans or what, but I thought that Sunday would have had a better showing. And I mean, it was a lot of Bills fans and a lot of empty seats. It's a lot like last year in spots where you go up against the teams that have good traveling fan bases. Earlier this year with the Bears fans and how well they traveled. This was like the Steelers game. This was like the Saints game. This was like the effing Broncos game. Like, you had a lot of games last year where fan bases came in from other places and they dominated. And to me, that is a reflection of a city that either one, knows that they can make a lot of money by selling these tickets to out-of-towners, or two, just isn't collectively bought in.
Well, it is a weird thing that I don't quite understand, is that, you know, even though, yes, you can make money, maybe it's because you know you can't when things go poor, that people, their first inclination is to sell. But it's like, isn't this the game you wouldn't want to sell? Because it's the Buffalo Bills. Like, that's the game you'd want. I know you can make a lot more money. I mean, my dad and I, we looked at it. We were like, well, we could sell these for quite a bit. And I was like, well, I don't want to miss the Buffalo Bills game. You know, I don't want to miss when Detroit's here in a couple weeks. I want to be in the stands, you know, for when that game happens, and it's going to happen again. The only big game we're selling this year is Baltimore. Just because my wife would kill me.
Why?
It's Christmas.
Oh. Some fan you are. You're not going to go to NRG Stadium on Christmas Day.
Yeah, I just don't think that
2%er.
I don't think that would go over well.
2%er.
I just don't think that would go over well.
Yeah, I don't think it would go over well. It's not going to go over well with my family, you know, because I think I'll be there. I'll be in the press box, miserable, not having any emotion, you know, but just doing my job.
Maybe look at you a Christmas gift.
Doing it the ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 way. Yeah. At ESPN Houston on YouTube. At ESPN 97.5 on Twitch. Some of us care.
Paul cares.
I cared so much last night that I was the last person to leave NRG Stadium in the media parking lot, and I had to get somebody to unlock the parking lot.
How long did it take for them to get there?
Surprisingly, not long.
Oh, good.
But it was
good.
Because, thank God it happened. My phone died just as I got to the parking lot, and I was like, oh, damn.
You almost spent the night at NRG?
Yeah. I thought about climbing the fence to go get my car, and luckily a guy drove by with a golf cart. And I said, please, for the love of God, do you have the ability to open this? And he did. So he opened it immediately. I was like, thank God.
I just imagine, like, it's like 12:02 today. He's like, anyone seen Paul? He's like, no, he's asleep in his car.
Yeah, after a certain point, I might have been able to get out. Anyway, it is Golan and George. He is Joe. I am Paul. 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in. Lots of things to talk about across the NFL from yesterday's slate of games, including, did Deshaun Watson quit on his team? And do the Cowboys still like Dak Prescott? Because until the end of last night, they sure didn't seem to. Stick around.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Gallant and George with special guest star Paul Gallant and recurring character Joe George, also featuring Sean Mapes.
Texans took down the Bills 23-20 yesterday. They're 4-1, and that is tied with nobody for the second best record in the AFC. Thought going into last night, especially with the Steelers giving the Cowboys as much trouble as they did till the very end, that there was a chance that the Steelers would also be a 4-1 team. But only one team has a better record than the Texans in the AFC. It's the Chiefs, who have been, I would say, playing with their food more than the Texans through four games this year. They play against the New Orleans Saints tonight in Monday Night Football. And yet, I just get this feeling, and maybe this is a reflection of Texans fans never fully buying into them, or this city never fully buying into the Texans, but I don't get the sense that people are impressed. I don't get the sense that people are entertained here.
Yeah, because I guess the compare and contrast with these two teams, you know, you have Kansas City, who last year struggled through most of the season with their offense, but they won the Super Bowl, right? So, like at this point, what do you say on Kansas City Sports Radio
right now about the Chiefs. It's like it's almost like it was with the Astros. It's like, well, it doesn't really matter because at the end of the day, we know they're going to have success. Texans fans seem to be not willing to overlook the mistakes and of the past. Maybe that's it, and just buy all the way back in. But is there any chance you think that this is maybe it's a reflection of the Bills, Paul? That people just maybe people are not as impressed with Buffalo as we are.
I mean, they should be. I guess you just don't know NFL if you're not.
Yeah.
He's Josh Allen on a good day, one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. His inconsistency is maddening for sure. But and yesterday he was as inconsistent as it gets. He was missing open throws. His receivers certainly weren't helping him, but this is a guy who had for 28 plus passes the lowest completion percentage of any quarterback this millennium. You say millennium, it sounds a lot heavier. And
it does.
That's the reality right now. He has games like this, and I suppose you could say this was more on Josh Allen struggling and the Bills billsing than it was on the Texans winning. I understand that, but this was an impressive win over a playoff caliber team. And I know that you all want more, but the style point victories that you seem to want, it's kind of what a college fan base asks for. And I'm not saying you should be super happy with it because there's a lot of things that need to be cleaned up, but you should be happy with the results. Almost a third of the way through the season, they're 4-1, having beaten a Buffalo Bills team, having a huge leg up on the AFC South, and being the second best team in the AFC right now by record.
Yeah, and with CJ yesterday, was it his best game ever? No, because the turnovers are, you know, don't really understand what happened on the interception. I'm curious to hear what he said. I'm sure he went into more detail today or will today if he hasn't met with the media yet on what happened on that play. Because it seemed uncharacteristic of him, I think is the best way to put it. And then the fumble is like, it is what it is. He didn't protect the football. It's not the end of the world. But he was 28-38 for 331 yards. He's averaging 9 yards almost a throw or a completion in this game. He was pretty damn good. Once again, and when it mattered most, you know, they made the right plays and they got in position so Kaimi could launch a football like 65 yards. I mean, that thing was good from at least 64 yesterday.
I like how you know this.
At least. I mean, it went way past the goalposts.
It did go past the goalposts.
I'm just guessing that was 5 yards.
He's been incredible. He is the Texans' all-time leading point scorer. And after the game, he was asked about his mentality. You know what? I had never heard his voice before.
Really?
I had never heard him talk. 2 years ago, I wanted to ask him about a moment where Lovie Smith decided, even though they were within Kaimi Fairbairn's field goal range, this is the first game of the year against the Colts 2 seasons ago, they could have kicked a 55, 57-yard field goal. I asked Lovie Smith about it after the game, and I stayed in the locker room looking for Kaimi Fairbairn because I was thinking to myself, Fairbairn can kick it from this far, for sure. Why didn't they give him the opportunity to? And after the game, Fairbairn did say that this is something that I'm always ready for. So it's one of those things where I look at him, and now I have complete trust in him. Maybe not the same kind of kick... maybe not the same kind of confidence that Cowboys fans have in Brandon Aubrey,
mm-hmm.
but this year, no kicker has kicked more attempts from 50 plus. He has 9, and no kicker has made more from 50 plus. He has 8. It's been incredible.
I mean, it felt like it was over, right? As soon as he went out there?
When I saw him go out there, I had a pretty good feeling to the point where I didn't even feel the need to necessarily look at the goalposts. I just had my binoculars focused on Stephon Diggs and how he was going to respond to what I assumed would be a make. Mm-hmm. And I also thought that Diggs would be emotional enough after the kick was made for me to know whether or not it was made. Sadly, I had to look up for a second. There's Stephon Diggs after the game yesterday. I had to look up because he showed no emotion after that happened. But, I mean, you had Jalen Petrie on the sideline basically taking his clothes off before the kick was even taken.
That shows you how much they believe in this.
They
guy.
Have full but confidence should. In him.
They should. What has he not like? What has he shown you in a in this situation? You know, in a dome where he's not just going to be money all the time. It's such a weapon for this team that even with the struggles that they've had on offense at times this year, Kyme Fairbairn, like I don't. If Matt Amendola is their kicker, I don't know where this team's at. Like I really don't. Like it is just one of those.
Well,
they
wouldn't have won that game.
Yeah,
and they wouldn't have won the other games. I mean, they, without Kyme Fairbairn, this is possibly a winless team.
Yeah, that's really sad. But it maybe have won two wins, but just because the other kicker would make some kicks. But he's so clutch. It's still funny to think back to remember when he got signed by Bill O'Brien,
mm-hmm.
and people freaked out that it was like the worst contract of all time. And it's been the best thing that Bill O'Brien's done.
Joe, they have a point differential of negative 12, and 8 of his field goals have been from 50-plus. 24 points for the Texans have been scored from 50-plus yards away. Then throw the Nico Collins touchdown in there, too. You got 30 points that are being scored from way out of bounds, like it's a howitzer cannon fighting against the Nazis.
And maybe that's where some of the doubt comes from about the Texans after this win, is that because you're not converting, even getting into the red zone, really, to have a chance to get red zone touchdowns. Maybe that's what some of the hesitation is from people wanting to, like, you know, really buy all the way in. That if it's not a 50-plus yard field goal or a 50-plus yard passing touchdown, we're not seeing a ton from this offense. But I also wouldn't want to put a referendum on it until we see Damian Pierce and Joe Mixon return, because the run game is useless.
Like, no offense.
I mean, Cam Akers is kind of useless. Dari was not great. I mean, I know Cam Akers had the rushing touchdown, but...
Yeah, it does feel like they're doing it for the sake of doing it.
And yeah.
It's not getting you much. I think it was 24 carries for 73 yards total between your three running backs. But a win is a win. And yeah, I feel the vibes are down. Do I need to sing for people? You guys are all acting like Shania Twain here. And I feel like you should be appreciating this just a little bit more. He's Joe. I'm Paul. BMAC in for Sean behind the glass. It's Gallant and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You want to weigh in on this, 713-780-3776 to call. To text, you can join us on YouTube at ESPN Houston and on Twitch at ESPN 97.5. Stay there.
ESPN 97.5.
When the world is calling, whether it's sunny beaches, global cities, or boardrooms that can't wait, getting there starts here. With over 55 nonstop destinations, a new nonstop to Montreal on Air Canada, and 20 nonstop flights a day to New York City, Columbus makes travel simpler, smarter, and closer than you think. Start your trip at flycolumbus.com.